Good morning. I'm glad to be back with you again Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I trust you're all doing good. Miss y'all. But let's go ahead and get right into it here. Last week we started a series we'll take probably into next week on the favor of God. And I just, again, last week I was just kind of asking the Holy Spirit what to share with you, what to minister on. And it became very clear to me that we as a body of Christ, not just as the body of Grace Fellowship of Moorhead, but anybody that can listen, needs to have a refresher course in the favor of God. So many Christians are spending so much time focusing and emphasizing on what the media says or what the negative things are or focusing on what this person said or that person said, what the world is saying. And it's getting to where the focus becomes more on the shaky economy. Your job might be shaky. Your finances might be shaky. The plague, the virus is a little scary, can be scary. Have you seen how many? Have you seen what it's doing? I'm sheltering down. I'm hunkering down. I'm not, I don't want it to get me. What if it gets me? What if it gets my family? What if things never get back to how they were before? Did you hear what our governor said? Did you hear what our president said? Did you hear what this person said? And it seems like a lot of attention is being given to what the media or the world is saying over what God has said. And just that simple realization struck it up, and the Holy Spirit gave me some insight to go into that. Beloved, we need to understand favor more, or at least for those that even know favor of God. Some people don't even know the favor of God. But for those that know the favor of God, we need to have a refresher course. We need to have it live inside of us. Now, the favor of God, for those, I mean, we do understand favors. We understand doing favors for people and doing things for them. And again, nothing's necessarily in return. We're just doing favors because, we're helping them out, right? But when we're dealing with the favor of God like this, a good couple words to understand, the one I work with is unfair partiality. That God does things for us that He doesn't do for everybody. And I know some people are like, well, God's not a respecter of persons, Pastor Thad. And He's not a respecter of persons. I like it how John Avanzini says it. He's an equal opportunity God. It's kind of like it says in our, I think it's our Constitution, that it says we have a right to pursue happiness. It doesn't say we have a right to happiness. We have a right to pursue it. We have a right to go after it. Whether you find it or not is up to you. And that's the way it is with God. He's an equal opportunity God. And you have the right to favor. You have a right to be treated better. Now, whether you do or not, that's up to you. But unfair partiality, preferential treatment. That's a good one. Is that you're preferring others above others. Your preferential treatment. I gave you some examples of that last week. Other words that I've heard are to endorse. We spent some time on that last week. That God is endorsing you. To support or assist. To make things easier. And to provide with advantages. I like that. You have advantages over other people. I think in terms of, if you went to school and you had a classroom of 30 people and the teacher said, tomorrow the test is going to be a booger. You better study. And then she walked right up to Susie and said, hey, Susie, here's the answer key. And everybody would be like, why does Susan get the answer key? Because she's my favorite. Now, a teacher probably wouldn't do that. But that's advantages. God has given His body advantages. You know, how about where in Ecclesiastes it says sow to 7 and to 8 because you don't know what's coming down the pike. In other words, you need to sow ahead of time. You know all those, a lot of that seed that you've sown in the past that you thought has gone unharvested? And you thought, what is going on? Take a look at your bank account today. Take a look at what God has done for you today. The fact that so many of you, I don't know anybody, if you've been out of work, you're still getting paid in our body. Others, you are in jobs that are more busy today than they've been in a long time. Amen? So that seed, it's working. But you sow when it's good. You sow seed because you don't know what's coming down. See, that's answers. That's answers to questions. Hallelujah. Praise God. So provide with advantages. I love the statement. And again, I don't know who to accredit it to. I think many have said it. Favor ain't fair, but it sure is fabulous. And that I absolutely 100% agree with that. Because favor, man, sometimes preachers can even have a hard time preaching on the favor of God or talking about the favor of God because we live in a society that you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And what do you tell somebody when things are, you know, when you're saying, yeah, things are going to happen for me, but they may not happen for you? Doesn't seem very fair. But my goodness, if you've learned to walk in it and you've learned to enjoy it, it sure is fabulous. It sure is a good thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Now go to Psalm 91 and go to Isaiah chapter 54. This is where we springboarded last week. We took off last week from these scriptures because, again, these are scriptures that are being preached a lot lately, are being posted on social media lately a lot. If you don't see them daily, then you at least every other day, right? But if you'll just notice the makeup of this, Psalm chapter 91, let's start reading in verse 7. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. You know, 1,000, bow, they're down. 10,000 at the right hand, boop, 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 boop. 11,000 people are down all around you. But it shall not come nigh you. See, that's one of the things that when we sit there and we focus on what the world is saying and what the world, it's going to be the worst economy ever. It's going to be another recession, which I do not believe it is. God's prophets are speaking and they're saying it's not. Hallelujah. And so I do not believe it. But again, you're listening to the wrong people if you sit there and go, but they said it's going to be another recession. It's going to be hard times. It's going to be, you know, this is going to be bad and that's going to be bad. Listen, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But beloved, when you walk in the favor of God, it cannot come nigh you, only with your eyes. Will you see the reward of the wicked? Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, no evil befall thee, none at all. Neither shall any plague, virus, come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I was thinking back there, one of the definitions, one of the words that defines the word favor is to assist someone. Right here he says he gives you angels to assist you, to keep you from even stubbing your toe. I think over in Psalm 103 talks about angels doing the work. I think I do have that one maybe written down here. Verse 19, Psalm 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has prepared his throne in heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice. The angels have been given, you've been given angels to assist you, to help you out. That's favor. And it's available for the child of God. That's Psalm 91. How about Isaiah 54, verse 17? Now again, the thing is, you can't read this thing without saying, hey, you know what? If I'm a child of God, things are going to happen for me that don't happen for other people. And what a secure place to find yourself. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon, say no weapon, no weapon, that is formed against thee can prosper. Every tongue that is risen against thee in judgment shall thou condemn. Thou shalt condemn. So in other words, man, weapons are created to destroy the person they're aimed at. And here it says they can aim as many weapons as you at you as they want, but it will fail because it cannot come nigh you. It cannot prosper when it's aimed at you. When they speak words against you, is there areas of the government that are speaking words that are that maybe are not intended to hurt? Maybe they are. But they are hurting you. They are hurting you. See, that's the thing. It can't hurt you. What's it going to do? It can't do it. Why? Because, again, I've taken this quote a while ago from Bill Winston. But basically it says that when somebody stops you from what God wants to do in your life, God will set up, leave it to God for the vengeance. Vengeance is mine. He'll take care of the details. You just stand on His Word. That's a long way to put what he put in that quote, but I just don't have a quote in front of me. Amen? Beloved, it is the thing the Holy Spirit spoke to me last week, and this has been a thing that's been on me all week long, and I want this to become a regular part of your concept, is that the favor of God is not something that is just convenient, but it's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely essential in our everyday life. Beloved, you cannot walk. There may have been a time where it just, you know, favor of God was just about a parking spot. Which is nice. It may have just been about the fact that there was a spot open in a restaurant. God doesn't care about that. Does God care about you? Then He cares about that. Because He cares about those that concern you the most. Amen. But the favor of God isn't something that's just about convenience. Beloved, if you don't walk in the favor of God every day in your life, you're living in a day and age that it might cost you your life. Go to Psalm 30. I'm trying to do my best here at going through this somewhat rapidly. I think I am. But I want to lay this foundation. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. It says, for his anger endures but for a moment, but his favor is life. The Amplified Version reads it like this. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime, or his favor is life. In other words, beloved, there cannot be a day or a moment of your life that you are not expecting, you are not believing for the favor of God. You need it day in and day out. Beloved, you don't need it to go to the shopping center just to get a good parking spot, or just to make sure they have in there what you have in there, or just to make sure that that a checkout lane is open so that you don't have to stand there for a long time. And again, some people will go, I don't think God cares about that. Does God care about you? Because if God cares about you, then He cares about what concerns you. But it's not about just that. It's about going in there and being safe. How many times have we heard about mass shootings in grocery stores? You better walk in the favor of God that it may go, it may go to every other shopping center around is not coming nigh yours. Hallelujah. Beloved, we need to increase in our expectation of the favor of God. I was watching a video by Hank Kuhneman, prophet. You can see his videos on YouTube. Just extraordinarily good words for accurate words. But one of the things that he spoke over in one of his last videos I watched this week is that he said, we are letting the virus dictate our future and our perspective. We're letting the virus dictate our future and our perspective. In other words, we've lost our expectation about what God's going to do. Beginning of 2020, there were so many amazing, he prophesied some amazing things that were going to happen in 2020 and beyond. And now we're looking at going, man, 2 years before a vaccine, medicines. We got rats in the White House, not talking about Trump. You got to listen to those prophecies. Talking about people that are around him on the stage. We got this going on, that going on. And we've allowed the virus to dictate our future and our perspective. And we've lost the expectancy of the words that God has spoken over 2020. We've lost the expectation of the words that God has spoken prophetically that this was a year, a decade of blessing, a decade of difference. That we've lost the perspective. We lost what God's perspective, and we've taken on the perspective of the virus, the media. Beloved, I'm telling you what, if you're a child of God, you need to live daily with an expectation. He daily loads us with His benefits. Daily having an expectation. Now again, some people might say things like this. They say, well, Pastor Thad, what makes me think that things are going to happen for me that are not happening for everybody else? Beloved, I'm telling you what, one of the biggest differences between the world and the child of God is the favor of God. That we have the God of the universe taking care of us. I was thinking about it. Make sure this doesn't get in the wrong hands, wrong information. just kidding. I was the booster president of the boys Round County basketball team for 2 full years, and I was there for 2 full years. I know that. And in the 2 years we had, we're still kind of the beginning stages of the showcase that they do every Christmas, Kentucky Bank Challenge. And so we're always working at ways of perfecting it. I think they still probably try to figure out best ways to do things. A couple of things that had, you know, they'd say no passes. The Kentucky High School Basketball or Athletic Association gives out passes to coaches, or at least they can buy passes for coaches, that you can get into every basketball game you want to get. And we say no passes because we want to make money. It's a money maker. And again, no season passes. Those that, you know, that have bought them through, Round County High School, a season pass, you can't use that there because, again, this is a moneymaker and we're trying to, you're seeing, I mean, sometimes up to 20 games you have availability to see. And so we'd really work on that kind of stuff. But I was the president of the boosters and we were the ones that ran the whole thing. And so people would come in and they may maybe be like, how much do I pay for this or that? I need this. And I'm like, $6 a piece. But I have a coach's card. Yeah, no passes. But, you know, and I, you know, you're cut off. But then somebody would come in that I knew, that I had a friendship with. And they would be like, maybe they'd be there and they'd go, oh, I thought it was just going to be a $5 like normal, and it's $6. And I'm like, I don't care. Yeah, come on in. If they came in and talked to me and said, are you taking coaches' passes? I'd say, just go on in. Because they knew somebody. And that was my big moment of being really important. But, other people were sitting there lying. Because we'd drawn a line in the sand. But if they came to me, hallelujah. That's a secret between us, okay? But that's the way it is with God. When you're in a relationship with God, when you're a child of God, He does things for you that He doesn't do for everybody else. It's just a fact. God is always causing success for His kids where they would, or normal people would, fail. He's always causing doors to open for His kids that would be closed for other people. Again, and there'll be a time maybe where we'll share the testimony, but my wife Jessica, just at the beginning of February, had something happen for her that just doesn't happen. It was amazing, but it was obvious. I just sat there with such a grin on my face, said, favor of God. When we are born again, we gain new status and become exempt from the things that would hurt or harm the world. And they don't hurt and harm you. They can't hurt and harm you. They can come against you, but they can't hurt or harm you. See, the favor of God doesn't mean that you won't have battles. Because again, the whole point of faith is that you haven't seen it yet. And if you haven't seen it yet, it means that perhaps you're in the middle of a battle. But God has still provided. And there is another side to this thing. Go to Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. We're getting ready to get into some fresh, this is all fresh. Hallelujah. Sometimes I beat myself up because I do seemingly kind of go slow over things. But again, this is all just where it's getting. I want this to get in us. I want us to have a great knowledge. The favor of God works for us. Quit complaining about stuff. The children of Israel were brought out of Egypt after 420 years of bondage. And all they could do was complain about their situation because they never got a hold of the fact. Hold it. If God's done it once, He'll do it again. If He's done it for one, He'll do it for you. They could never get their head wrapped around that. We're God's favorite. Why would He let us die in the wilderness? And if we don't get that realization in us, what are you, just a mere man? No, I've got the blood of a king in me. Oh, can I get an amen from that one? I am not a mere man. I've got the blood of a king in me. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Woo! How about the fact we're of the kingdom of God? And I don't have time to just talk about this stuff, but I want this to get deep in us. I think it was Bill Winston who went down to Haiti, I believe it was, and was doing a missions trip down there and was walking through the streets and looking around and seeing the crazy poverty all around, the insane poverty. And it was just grabbing his heart. And they turned a corner, walking down the streets. He turned a corner, and there was a house, a gated house that was different. The yard was different. The house was different. The things around it was different. It was beautiful, and it was just seemed out of place. And he said, who lives there? And he goes, oh, that's the American embassy. That's where the ambassador of the United States lives. And man, God said, he said, ha, ha, ha. Because once you walk inside those gates, you may be in Haiti, but you have now entered into U.S. soil. When you're in an embassy, You have crossed, even though you're in the middle of all that stuff around you, and everything around you is Haiti. When you step inside of that, you have now stepped onto U.S. soil. Things are different. The medical community, they may be doing medical small things out here, but the people that are in that embassy get good medical care, get American medical care. You with me here? It may not be fair, but it sure is fabulous. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous." Those who are in right standing with you, those who are right before you, you will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou encompass him as with a shield? The righteous. Those that are right with God get to walk in his favor. If you're born of God, beloved, you are born into a heritage of his favor. But again, you've got to be taught about it. You've got to understand it. You've got to put yourself in a position to receive it. Galatians tells us that if you are Christ's, Galatians 3:29, we'll just read that one. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that he gave Abraham. Why? Because that's our lineage. Last week we finished with Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, where we realized that we are that 14th generation. We are the generation of the blessing, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are that generation. We get to walk in it. We get to live in it. Hallelujah. Ephesians, go to Ephesians 2. I want to settle here for a second because I want us to see greater, clearer pictures of why favor works for us. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." Having covenants of promise. We were strangers. All the covenants that had been given, and God's a covenant God, so he kept making covenants with his people all the way through the old covenant. And us as Gentiles, we didn't get any of it. It was not for us. We had to sit there and watch it. Only with our eyes are we going to see the blessing of God because we're Gentiles. We're strangers from the covenants of promise. Therefore, we had no hope and we were without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Those that used to not be able to partake in the favor of God now are. Why? Because if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Because of the blood of Jesus, the heritage of the Bible, the heritage of covenant, the heritage of favor has become our heritage. Without doubt, beloved, it's a heritage of favor. The favor of God. It's our DNA. Now, last week I mentioned this a little bit. And as I was kind of putting some, you know, where we're going this week, I really started thinking again about the favor of God, the covenants of God, and how covenant works. And again, understanding covenant, when you're walking in covenant with someone, that's the ultimate favor, is covenant. Let's go to our illustration we use here quite often, because I think it's a good illustration. Our two tribes. We have two tribes, right? We have a warring tribe. We have a farming tribe. The warring tribe, well, they war, they fight, they're brutal, right? And so instead of planting their own crops, because they're a warring tribe, they just go around to other tribes and they plunder their villages and they steal their crops and that's how they get their food, okay? And so one of the farming tribes that is a successful farming tribe is tired of their crops being ransacked because again, they're losing half their crops, and even after some of it's left, it's damaged to the point they can't use it. And so they're frustrated with that. So they go to the chieftain. The chiefs of the two tribes come together and they say, let's make a covenant. Let's come to an agreement on this. All right? The agreement says is that we will provide food for you and your village. But in order for us to be able to do our job and to bring our crops to the fullest, you are to protect us. Not to attack us, but to protect us. So you provide us with a protection. We provide you with food, and we're both. Now the warring tribe doesn't have to concern themselves where their next meal is coming from, because as long as they do their job and protect the farming tribe is not just producing what they used to produce. They're able to produce more because it's not being damaged, it's not getting stolen, and so their crops are bigger and better than they were before, and so now they can produce more, so each group gets more. And they've just come into a covenant. And again, we know there's a process, and the blood is an important process of this. But what I want you to understand, what I want to see in this, is that the warring tribe doesn't go around and say, okay, I'm going to just protect everybody's crops. And they go to the farming tribe down the road and says, hey, we're going to provide you crops too. No, as a matter of fact, if they wanted to, they could send out a little extra group of people and go and invade the farming tribe down the road. If they wanted to. Because there was covenant said we're protecting these people, but not those people. The warring tribe over here could watch down the road and see another warring tribe come and clean the clock of that farming tribe over there. That was not their area to protect because they were in covenant with this farming tribe. The farming tribe could see other warring tribes going hungry and getting ornery. But their responsibility wasn't to feed all the warring tribes. It was to feed this one. That's what covenant does. If you think of it in terms of it, our best understanding of covenant is a man and a wife. Husband and wife. That's our main areas because we come into a covenant agreement. We use these instead of burning tattoo type stuff around our finger. And they thank some of that so that we can take it off and put it back on. But a husband and wife. A husband and wife have different relationships and have different things in their relationship. One of the things that I say is Jessica's first car that she ever owned. She didn't make a payment for. She didn't pick out either. But when we got married, my car became her car. And if she wanted to run to the grocery store, she didn't have to say, "Hey, honey, can I use your car?" Because it wasn't my car anymore. It was our car. Now, if any of the rest of you went out there and got my keys and took off with my car, you'd have the fuzz on your back, or police officers on your back. Because you don't have that right. She did. Are you with me here? Covenant is the ultimate area of favor. And we've got a blood covenant through Jesus. Which makes all things, we are joint heirs with Jesus. We have everything that He has. And it's available to us. Even though it may not be available to everyone else. Just a simple example. Contrary to popular belief, not everybody's going to heaven. It's for His people. His covenant people. Amen? It's a heritage. And when we come into a blood covenant, we're brothers and sisters. That's why we call each other brother. You know, we don't do it as much anymore, but you know, my dad was called for years back in Illinois, Brother Callahan. My mom was Sister Callahan or Sister C. I would call my mom, I'd call up at the church when I was done with basketball practice or football practice to have my mom come and pick me up, because we had to use pay phones back in those days. And I'd call her and I'd be there and there'd be a line behind me and someone would answer the church phone that wasn't my mom, because she usually answered the church phone, but someone else would answer, and I'd say, is Sister Callahan there? And all my teammates behind me went, is your mom a nun? How did she have you if she's a nun? So I just took it because I didn't want to get into the conversation of why we call people brothers and sisters. But we're family. Amen. But the favor of God is our heritage. And we're going to, let's look more at it. Now, last week we looked at the very end of it. We looked at Noah. And we found out, and this was such a cool thing, is because it says why he was picked was because of favor. He found favor in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor. Why did he find favor? It wasn't just because God was going, all right, stop me. Ah, Noah, you got favor. No, it talks a little bit that he was upright and he was blameless and he walked with God. He loved God. And because he loved God, now again, he wasn't born again, but because he loved God and he had a relationship with God, he was chosen when everybody else was floating. Amen. It was just a wonderful picture of that. Let's move on, because I want us to see this heritage. Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. We'll go back to, last week we didn't read through the whole thing because the genealogies can get quite long. But in Matthew chapter 1, all the genealogies start with who? Abraham. So that's where we're going to start here today. We'll do our best to go quickly on these. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has spoken to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now again, God could have chosen anybody. Beloved, there was more than just Abram on planet Earth at the time. God could have chosen anybody, but he chose Abram. Now notice what he says to him in verse 2, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version, because again, the Amplified Version just gives more details. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors. I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you'll be a blessing, dispensing good to others. It's funny here, because I want to stop here for a second, but the reason God does favors for you is so you can do favors for others, and other people can be blessed through you, and when they're blessed through you, they want to be a part of who you are and what you have. But notice here, he said, God's out there, and he's looking for a way to get to Jesus. And he finds Abram, and he said, I'm starting with you. I want you to get up, get away from your father's house, go to a land that I'm going to show you. Not that I've shown you, but I'm going to show you, and we're going to do good things for you. And one of the first things I'm going to do for you is I'm going to show you an increase, an abundant increase of favors. I'm going to do things for you, and he did, man. I don't have time to go through them all. I wouldn't mind going through them all, but I don't have time. Jesus, God did things for him that he didn't do for everybody else. He saved. Listen, if your average person goes and offers his wife to a king just so that they don't get killed, most people are going to lose their wife. But God strikes the king and his whole household with a disease to get their attention to stop him. God does things for his kids, for his covenant partners. It's a heritage of favor. Go over to Genesis 37. Actually, we'll probably read only in verse 39, but we know the story. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. The story of Joseph. And how favor, he had a dream. And I know we focused on the dream. I love the dream. But do you understand that favor will cause you, the favor that was in and blessing in Joseph's life is what helped him to complete the assignment for that dream? If he would not have had the favor of God, he would have died in the pit. Favor is your way to the top. You can claw, you can cheat, you can connive, but beloved, if we are a child of God, all we have to do is put our faith in God, and favor is our way to the top. Let me just run through these for you. Do you think it was an accident, happenstance, that the caravan that came by was going to Egypt and just happened to come by when his brothers were talking about killing Joseph? Do you think it was by accident that Potiphar was the man that purchased Joseph from the caravan? Do you think it was just by chance that warden happened to be in charge of the prison at that time that Joseph was thrown into prison? Do you think it was just by happenstance that the baker and the butler offended Pharaoh at that time where Joseph was in the prison? Didn't do it months earlier? Didn't do it after? Do you think it was just by chance that Pharaoh dreamed the dream that he dreamed when he dreamed it? Again, Genesis 50 verse 20, it says what you guys all meant for bad, God brought about good. God was weaving. God was doing favors in Joseph the whole time that was bringing him closer to the dream, the destiny. I mean, it says it right there. And I'm going to read Genesis 39 verse 4 out of the Amplified Version just to show you very clearly that this is what was happening. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't just that God was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, Potiphar's got him. No, God put Potiphar in there. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Oh, an Amplified Version. So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight. And he served him. He found favor. Because not just because of who he was. Because of whose he was. His heritage. Everything that was put into Joseph's hands prospered. Beloved, if anybody in the world ever, all times, had a chance to be complainer, it was Joseph. And you can go around complaining about your situations, complaining about what others have done for you, complaining about what's going on around you, but beloved, favor will take you to the top if you believe for the favor of God to work in your life. I thought it like this. Hey, how about this? You walk into a building. I've had the opportunity once or twice to go downtown Chicago. And you never really understand the immensity of Chicago. Probably New York's the same way. I've never been to New York. Until you stand on a street corner and you are dwarfed by the buildings. Because the skyline of a city doesn't do it justice to the magnitude of it. But I stood there and I was like, my Lord. And the thought starts coming to you, I'd hate to have to go up there every day. I'd hate to, can you imagine? You get a job on the 52nd floor. I don't want to go up there every day. And you can either complain about how big the building is, or you can just get on the elevator and go to the top. Selah. You can either complain about how tall the building is, or you can just get on the elevator and it'll take you to the top. That's the favor of God, beloved. When God's favor is on you and God says for promotion, then nobody can stop it. Selah. That's good. I don't care who you are right there. You can complain about how tall the building is, or you just can get in favor and rise your way to the top. Go over to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, this is our heritage. This is what we've been born into as a child of God. If we're Christ, then we have this heritage in us. We are heirs of this heritage of favor. The children of Israel had been in bondage for 400 plus years. And they're crying out to God for a deliverer. And God literally raises up a deliverer, literally, from a baby. He raises up a deliverer, and then He calls that deliverer by a burning bush. And here's what He says to him. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, He talks to Moses at the burning bush, and part of what He says is, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty." Now, Exodus chapter 3 was before the first plague. And God's promise said, you guys are going to have favor. And when you go, you're not going to go empty. Bible says they plundered the Egyptians. They didn't go empty, did they? So God gives them this promise that the favor of God, and they're not going to go empty. Well, how's it going to be? Because we've had 400 years where we're empty. Things aren't working for us. How's this going to be? How's this going to work? He brings the first plague, the second plague, the third plague. And each one along the way, they're going, this is it. This is it. Things are going to change. Ninth plague. Pharaoh's heart's hardened. And they still ain't got nothing. Egypt's got wealth. Pharaoh's got the power. Now Goshen, every plague stops the line of Goshen. It's my favorite. I cannot even imagine what that looked like. when the plague of frogs came, tell me that you can frogs are controlled. And there, but according to Scripture, there was a straight line. And frogs would jump around, and it would. I can imagine one was jumping around, went like, "Oops, I'm on the wrong side," and it just kind of ran back. But it stopped at Goshen because there's no plagues that came on Goshen, where the children of Israel are. That's favor. It's a heritage of favor. But then the tenth one came. We've talked about this so much lately: the Passover, the death of the firstborn of every family, every household. And he said, "All right, get out of here." Remember, they had to eat that dinner with their loins girded, shoes on their feet, ready to go, packed up, ready to go. And then they went. He said, "Go borrow of your neighbors." And it wasn't borrow; it was demand. He said, "We're leaving. We're leaving tonight. We need money." And it says that they plundered, that they left with all the silver and all the gold. Why would people just turn their stuff? It's a favor of God. Favor of God working on your behalf. After 420 years of bondage, they're released with all the wealth and total healing and manifestation in that group. Wealth transfer. It's part of the favor of God. The Red Sea opened for the Israelites, but not for the Egyptians. It crushed the armies of the Egyptians. The very door that will open for you to cross into a new area of your life because of the favor of God will crush those who are not supposed to go through it. Yeah. We'll just, that's another Selah there, man. Get that. But my boss is a jerk. The governor's a jerk. This person's a jerk. The media's are jerks. None of that matters when you got the favor of God on you. Because if they try to shut the door that God's opening for you, it'll work just like the Red Sea. It'll crush them. How about Psalm 44? I hope you're getting this. I've got a couple more here I want to share with you. I've got to do them quickly. Psalm 44, verse 1. It says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what you did in their days, the days of old, our heritage." That's why all those stories are in there. And so that we understand the favor of God when we're in righteousness, when we're in rightness with God. How thou didst drive out the heathen from the land and plantest them, and thou didst afflict the people and cast them out, for they got not the land in the possession. Sorry. I just got excited. They didn't get the land by their own sword. They didn't have to slice anybody to get their way to the top. They didn't get there with their own arm to save them. But your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because thou had favor. Woo! I wished you were all here so I could hear y'all shouting amen. Thou had favor unto them. How did the doors open for battles to be won by the children of Israel? The favor of God was working on their behalf. And therefore, they fought battles they didn't have to fight. Things opened up for them. Jericho's walls fell. Things manifested for them that wouldn't happen for other people. The arm of the Lord cleared the way because they were His favorites. The favor of God was on them. Go to Luke chapter 1. I want to finish these last couple scriptures here before we wrap it up today. So I got to hurry. Goodness. I don't know if the favor. Then you need to understand who you are. You need to understand your position in God. You need to understand that you, if you are Christ, if you are born again, if the blood of Jesus Christ is over your life, then you are heirs to all the covenants that have been ever given. They're yours. Luke chapter 1. Another person that was in lineage here, Joseph. His wife, Mary. How many young girls of that time period were hoping, maybe I'll be the one to give birth to the Messiah. Verse 26, Luke 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Lineage, Matthew 1. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Here's why you're getting chosen. You've got a destiny to fulfill. There's a plan of God on your life to accomplish. And here's how you're going to accomplish it. You are highly favored. The Lord is with thee." That's how you're going to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. That's how you're going to manifest your destiny, is by expecting, walking. It is more than convenience. It's essential for you to accomplish what God's called you to do. Let's go one more here. Luke chapter 2. I just want to preach it, get it over with. You guys got 4 hours here today. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom." Jesus himself increased in wisdom and stature and favor. Why did things happen for Jesus that didn't happen for everybody else as he walked the earth? He was all God. He had the DNA of God, but he operated as all man. I want you to understand that I'm not short-circuiting Jesus one bit. He says himself in Philippians that though he had right to be equal with God, he took on the form. He made himself like that of a servant. He operated as a man. 100% man. He didn't do miracles. Listen, how about these? Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest." The New Living Translation says it like this: "Therefore it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto where were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow what he did," follow his steps. If he was operating 100% as God, deity, how could we ever hope to follow his steps? But the reason he did what he did on this earth was for us to follow his steps. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." Again, I just want you to see that the reason Jesus lived, how he had access to all of the Father, comes down to this, is that he rose, he walked in favor with God and man. God opened doors for him. Man even liked him. But God opened doors for him on this earth that no man could shut. When it was time, it was time. Therefore, if he did it, that's what we need to do too. Jesus walked in favor. That's our heritage. We should too. It's our heritage. One more thing. And I said one more scripture. This fits in there. Because he walked in favor. He preached on favor. Go to Luke chapter 4. Next week's going to be good. We're going to get into unlocking some doors. If you're a born again child of God, you have access to favor. But so too many children of God are not living in the favor. And so we want to talk about how we can get favor working in our lives. Man, there's some... I got some stuff. It's going to be good. But notice in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year." And again, that year is not just talking about 365 days. It's talking about an age, which again, two days, 2,000 years. All right. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But if you look into that just a little bit deeper, I look at the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation in verse 19 says, "And that the time of the Lord's favor has come." The Amplified Version, that same verse, verse 19, "to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely." Can you say profusely with me? Profusely abound. Profusely means beyond limitations, to break limitations, new levels, extravagant, lavish. And of course, this is the prophetic word from Isaiah 60. So listen. From the beginning, there was favor. Favor on God's people, favor on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way through, there's favor. God worked for David when he didn't work for a lot of other people, there was favor. There was favor on the life of Mary, there was favor on the life of Jesus. And then Jesus walked around and here's what he preached. He said there's a new level. If you think what happened in the old covenant, why is there a new level? Because it's a better covenant based on better promises. If you think what happened to great-great-great-great-granddaddy Abraham and great-great-great-granddaddy Isaac and great-great-great... If you think what happened to them was extraordinary, we have just entered in by the blood of Jesus a level of favors that will profusely, that will be lavish, that will be extraordinary, that will be beyond measure, that will break limitations, that will be beyond limitations. New levels of favor. And yet the children of God have been walking around being messed with by the world. Letting the world call the shots. Trying to get down to their level. Song says, he came down to our level and we couldn't get up to his. It didn't say, you need to get down to the world's level. Only reason you get down to their level is to help them up. God said there's a new level of favor that has come on his covenant partners. He preached it. Prophesied in Isaiah. New level of favor. And we've been walking around like we have nothing to say. Beloved, don't let this virus define your destiny. Where's that at? That quote. Quit letting the virus dictate your future and your perspective. Let the Word of God, let His profuse favor dictate your perspective and your future. Set your affections, set your attention on the fact that the favor of God is working for you today. Because it's for more than just convenience. It is a necessity today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp. It's a light. When we're dinging our shins on the rocks and the furniture of this world, and we can't figure out why things aren't going, your word will unlock. It will brighten. It'll shine to let us know. Here's why. And Father, these last 2 weeks, you've been revealing to us that we have been under expecting your favor. And you have called us to set our attention on it, to expect it more, to receive it as done. So that we can truly live the destiny, the dream, the purpose that you have set out for us to live. That's why you always tell us to rest. Faith rests. Faith doesn't fight and stress and get angst over stuff. Faith rests. Why? Because the favor of God's working. And if there's something that we need to do, the Spirit of God will tell us to do it. And all we have to do is be obedient. It can be challenging. what he tells us. But it's not hard. Because he's taken the guesswork out of it. And all we have to do is let it, obey it, expect it, and watch it manifest. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Walk in His favor. Expect His favor this week. I want some testimonies. Text me. Post them on Facebook, whatever you can, we can do. But I want some testimonies of God's favor on you this week. Amen. I love you guys. You go with God, walk in His blessings, prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. But I love you guys. God bless you. Go with God. Amen.